Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Welcome to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast. My name is Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard. We're back here with our normal two-week time slot.
Yeah, that's pretty nice, huh?
Yeah. I know.
Doing pretty good, yeah, pretty good.
I'm excited about it.
I also am excited. We got some fun topics to talk about this week. We got some more fan questions to get over, so should be a good time had by all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I want to go ahead and jump right into a continuation of a topic we talked about on the last episode. We're going to jump right into some toy talk
yep.
at the top of the episode today.
Dive right in. It'll be like we never left.
That's right. That's right. So the show just kept going. There is just a two-week break.
Which is actually what a lot of our reviews say. The show just keeps going.
It's so long. They don't ever stop talking. On the last episode, I discussed the big announcement that the Masters of the Universe Classics toy line is leaving Mattel and being picked up by a smaller company called Super 7. And we just kind of, basically, I discussed my thoughts on that whole thing. And, you know, I tried to make it perfectly clear that everything I was really kind of discussing in that was like my own opinion on how I felt about that whole situation based on the facts that I was told in my interview with Brian Flynn of Super 7. So I just, you know, used the information from that interview, kind of speculated on my own, but it drew a lot of discussion online. So when that... when our episode went up and I put up the post specifically about that topic, there was a ton of discussion on Facebook about it. And, you know, fans of the toy line were kind of all over the place regarding what we were talking about. I mean, there's just a lot of emotion going on with it, and I totally get that because this is a big deal. It's not something that's ever happened before. We've never seen Masters of the Universe, like, leave Mattel at all and be handled by another company mm-hmm. in this capacity. So some people are kind of angry at Mattel over the situation. There are people that are just nervous because they don't know how things are going to turn out and they want new toys. There are other people who are just, you know, playing it loose, waiting to see what happens, kind of agreeing with my speculations. It was kind of all over the place. But bottom line is there was a lot of discussion and a lot of people debating with each other because of what we were talking about on the podcast. So that was pretty crazy to see, but it is always cool when we can actually stir up a little bit of discussion mm-hmm. like that. But the best part about that is we did catch the attention of my boy CB, Cornboy, at Four Horsemen Design. He's one of the guys, if you don't know, who sculpts these figures for Mattel and will continue sculpting the figures now that Super 7 has taken over. So he popped into that thread and was talking to a bunch of people throughout that thread, was answering some questions, and then finally put up a post that's like kind of an official announcement from the Four Horsemen. So I definitely wanted to cover that here today, just so to make sure everybody hears what CB has to say. CB's post says, "Just so all of you Masters of the Universe Classics fans know, we, being the Four Horsemen, just shipped the first five," and then in parentheses he puts sort of, so I don't know what that means, "but the first five new prototypes off to Super 7 on Thursday, and at least three more are going to be ready to go within a couple of weeks. We're off to a big start with these, and we're all super excited to see where this leads." So CB has confirmed that they have got 5, 6, 7, 8 figures, basically, mm-hmm. pretty much ready to go, and the prototypes have been sent off to Super 7, which is for them to start manufacturing the toys. So that is good news. That's big news. That's good. Working a little bit faster than I initially speculated on. But we did also, I also kind of brought up that Brian did tell me at Comic-Con that he was pretty sure that the Horsemen were already working on stuff for Mattel, and if that was the case, that was where they planned to start. So it's very possible they just, that's exactly what's happening here. Mm-hmm. They already had plans, they had stuff in motion, so bing, bang, boom, they're getting it off to Super 7, and I guess manufacturing is going to start. So that's great news. And what's really cool about that is New York Comic-Con is coming up within the next week or two. We're getting really close to New York Comic-Con. So it's, this is speculation, this is not any kind of confirmation, but it's possible, with these prototypes being in Super 7's hands, they might be able to show something off for us at New York Comic Con. Cool. That'd be a really, really cool surprise, and that'd be a great way to kind of ease fans' minds, I think, by busting out those prototypes at the convention for everybody to see.
Yeah, so, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
So, now, remind me, when when Mattel pulled the plug, were there more plans for figures already? Like, do we have any idea what these new prototypes are going to be?
I don't know for sure. I know that there was an original roadmap in place that has basically kind of been there since day one, but they've kind of modified it as they've gone. But there's always been a plan, like, outlined of certain characters to get to in certain years. And the reason they did that is because they tried to keep things mixed up as much as possible so that they can, like, you know, have a year with a few figures that fans would really want and then speckle in a couple of these obscure characters. And that way people will still buy it because there's still stuff that they want. You know what I mean? So they always had this kind of plan in place. So I'm pretty certain that they still had stuff kind of on the books, at least, like written down ideas for things to do in these next couple years, as long as the line was going to continue. And I'm pretty certain, I don't know for sure, again, speculation, but I'm pretty sure, since we just, they just launched this year, a line based on the Filmation cartoon series. So they're actual sculpts of figures that look like the old cartoon, which is not something they had done before this year. And I'm pretty sure that they had more of those planned. That aren't coming now because they canceled the line. So it's very possible that the stuff here that they're working on now is those are those figures that they were going to be putting out for the year two of the Filmation line. Very possible. So I definitely think that they had plans, that they knew where they were going with it as long as the line was going to continue. And now that it's moving over to Super 7, maybe they're just going to pick right up where they left off and keep it going. So,
which would kind of be my thought, especially as, and I know nothing about this world, but
especially
as quickly as they seem to be turning it around, as you would assume that they had already kind of had this in line and been working on it.
Right.
And they were able to just, from their standpoint, it was like nothing ever happened. They just kept on working. They're just sending it to a new address now.
You know? Hopefully that's the case. I still don't know. I'm totally in the dark on like how the whole factory situation is going to work. I don't know if there's still going to be a break in production time with Mattel shutting down and Super 7 picking up. I have no idea. All of that was just me guessing. But it is definitely good to know that we've got new figures in the hands of Super 7 now from the Horsemen, which means the ball is rolling. So all we can do now is wait and see what happens and just hope for the best. But it sounds like things are looking up, which is good news. So definitely wanted to throw that out there. I was really happy to see that news kind of spawn based off of our discussion. That was really cool.
Yeah, you heard it here first.
That's right.
Break the scoop.
Breaking the news again. All right. Remember that time I broke the internet with my picture of the Ghostbusters villain from Toy Fair? That was a good time.
Remember how much fun that movie ended up being?
I liked it a lot.
I know, that's what
I don't think much of the world did, though.
Well,
that's all right.
To each their own.
To each their own,
but to us, the Ghostbusters.
All right. Well, why don't we go ahead and jump into some DC discussion? Actually, we're going to talk some DC TV good, because we are on the verge of all these shows starting back up. Especially season two of Supergirl, which has had a lot of hype with it moving over to the CW, and of course the fact that her cousin Superman is going to be making a guest appearance on the show. And we've talked about that briefly in the past, but just this past week we got a brand new little clip from the episode of the crossover where we got to see the two in action side by side, and it was pretty incredible.
And a little taste of the Clark Kent.
Yeah.
That we've got to look forward to.
Yeah, so you're a huge Superman fan, so why don't you go ahead and let it go, like, tell us about it.
Just super excited about it. It really had the bright, kind of goofy without being overdone feel that you would hope for from a Clark. Now, granted, the Clark Kent bit was 30 seconds. It was a little phone call between him and Perry. But it was one of those things where if you're looking for an introduction, that's exactly what you're looking for, you know, at least in my opinion there. That's what I want to see out of Clark, you know, because he just had an aloofness to his character that I thought was just knocked out of the park, you know. And then the rest of the clip, you can find it online pretty much anywhere. It's about a two-minute clip. It starts off with that, and then it cuts over to some news broadcast that there's a shuttle coming in, and it's on a crash course, and there's people in Metropolis going, well, we hope Superman can see this. And there's people in National City going, well, we hope Supergirl's watching this, you know. And so, of course, then they both come zooming up. And it really, to me, it felt like that 777 scene from Superman Returns. when they show like the plane coming down, the shuttle in this case coming down, and then all of a sudden you just see like the red blur zoom in, except this time it's Supergirl, and obviously the special effects aren't quite as good, but for a TV show, especially on a network, you know, the stature of the CW, the effects that they put into these superhero efforts are mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You know, as a kid who grew up and loved Lois and Clark, man, you ain't never seen nothing like that on Lois and Clark.
No kidding.
You know, she zooms in and starts trying to catch this shuttle, and then Superman just kind of flies right up next to her, casually, like, "Hey, cuz, what's going on?" You know? And what does she say? This looks like a job.
This looks like a job for the both of us.
That's right. That's right. You know, and he flies around back and starts putting some super breath on the engines that were exploding. That's pretty much as it's coming down and they're struggling to straighten it up, and that pretty much just ends the scene. That's the teaser right there. But again, it was so, to me, it felt perfect. Like, everything I've been looking for in the feel of a super character has come through in Supergirl, and it looks like they're going to amp that up now that it's moved to the CW, and they're going to make it even more exactly what I want out of it. And again, I mean, I've given you my theories on how much Superman we'll be seeing, which is not much, but I'm hoping if they can keep him around and not overshadow the rest of the all the shows with him. Honestly, if he's going to come around and just be the man, and all of a sudden all four of these shows don't matter anymore because there's Superman out there somewhere, that I kind of hope they do write him out quickly. But if they can pop him in every once in a while and just do these fun little bits, because some of my it's harsh to say some of my favorite parts, but every time they would do those little text conversations in season one, I would get excited.
Yeah, that's,
you
really
know,
cool.
It was just one of those things where I'm like, this is just neat.
Yeah.
You know, and so now if they can actually have him show up and do that stuff, it's I'm rambling on like a little kid here. No, I'm just so excited.
But that shows how exciting it is, right? And like, that's exactly how it should be. And I mean, all right, our show wouldn't be complete without a little bit of DC movie bashing.
Was trying so hard not to do it.
How much better was this than what they're doing in the films right now? Like, this felt like a Superman comic book.
Yep.
This was awesome.
Yep. There was more Superman in that 2 minutes than there has been in the last two movies that they've done, you know.
Sorry, DC movie fans. It's just, yeah, they're doing it so good on TV. They're just doing it so good. It's exciting, and it's fun, and it's uplifting, and that's exactly what it should be.
Yep.
And, like, how fun was it that they threw in all those little those Easter eggs, basically? Like she said, this looks like a job for the both of us. Yeah. That was super cute. But, like, also when he's on the phone with Perry, and he's, like, talking about how, I've heard you say Great Caesar's Ghost before. You know, stuff like that. Just little throwbacks to past versions of these characters. Like, that's so super fun.
Yep.
So,
yep.
Man, dude, DC TV is just killing it.
You just kind of had that sense of how, because he was basically just arguing with Perry, but he was doing it in that way where he's not really arguing, he's just kind of talking, you know, but you can tell he's getting under the skin of a guy who you can't even hear on the conversation, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it was just last week I was watching an episode of Supergirl, and Cat Grant was talking about Perry White, and she was mentioning how she had seen him throw a chair through a window. You know, and I kind of had that image in my head of while I was watching this, like, oh, I hope we get to meet TV Perry White someday.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I cannot wait, because, I really enjoyed Supergirl Season 1, and I think just with everything we're seeing, the move to CW is going to be nothing but positive for this show, and I'm just so excited to see all of this play out. I think it's going to be a lot
agree.
Of fun.
I couldn't have been more excited about that move over to that network. That's exactly, I think, what that show needs.
Really is.
And again, I'm really interested to see what happens with the ratings, because again, you know, without quoting exact numbers, I know Supergirl was somewhere in like the 8 to 10 million, I think, on average.
Right.
And most CW shows, like even the big hits like Flash, are somewhere around the 2 million average.
That's amazing.
So I'm really, you know, I wonder if
those people are going to follow it over to CW.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if half the people do, they've got the biggest show on that network in I don't know how long.
Well,
so.
And you know, I bet word getting out about Superman being on the show is going to be a huge, like, people are going to tune in to see that.
Yeah,
like,
I hope
people
so.
Are going to be excited to watch that, I think. So
I hope so.
Cool. So, with her being on that network, we were also building up to the big crossover event between all four mm-hmm. of these CW shows. And there was some other news this week, too, about a possible villain, I believe, for the crossover event.
Yeah, they've been Stephen Amell, who is just delightful on social media, with some of the pictures and stuff he'll post from set. And they've been deep in work filming the 100th episode of Arrow.
Yeah.
And apparently the 100th episode will be right in the mix of that four series crossover, so it's coming probably late November, early December, somewhere in that range.
Cool.
And so he's given some shots of different guest stars kind of hanging around, and one in particular that kind of caught some buzz. I don't think there was any kind of explanation or anything with it. He just posted a picture of himself sitting on a park bench in plain clothes. Like, it's not even Arrow, it's Stephen Amell. Sitting there on a park bench in plain clothes, and on the other side of the park bench is a fully suited up Deathstroke.
So
just chilling there. It's a really cool looking picture, you know?
That's really cool.
But it's the super interesting part about that is because I was under the impression, due to internet rumor, I guess, that there was kind of a moratorium on using that character mm-hmm.
We just found out that he's the main villain in the upcoming solo Batman film. Uh-huh. He's going to be played by Joe Manganiello.
Yeah, and apparently he's got some role in Justice League.
Right,
because he's doing some filming there, too. So, and which I will say, I've heard...
Because that's the same thing that happened with Deadshot. They had to stop using Deadshot and the Suicide Squad on Arrow because of Suicide Squad the movie.
And I wonder how accurate that is. Like, I don't doubt it at all, but we never really hear that stuff from official sources. You know,
just and the
I don't. Yeah, I don't.
The internet being the internet,
exactly. You know, and
okay,
sometimes
okay. I thought that was official.
As harsh as we are on. Well, that's the thing. They say it is, but I mean, it wasn't a press release or anything.
Gotcha.
That I saw.
Okay.
So you know, you never know. As hard as we are on the DCU, we're not the only ones who just think the worst of DC. So maybe they're not that bad. I mean, I don't think we're going to be seeing a whole lot of Deadshot on Arrow anytime soon. But maybe that was just. Storyline preference. Maybe that wasn't, you know, a command from both. Now, at the same time, maybe it absolutely is. Maybe they got special permission to use Deathstroke for 10 seconds in a flashback, and we'll never see him again. You know, maybe he's going to show up in that episode and get killed, and that's why we'll never see him again. Maybe all of that stuff is 100% true, but it always kind of makes you think when you hear stuff like that, and you go, yeah, I believe that, and then the next thing you know, you see a picture of the character, and you're like, okay, now I don't know what's going
on. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, that's really cool, though. I'm excited to see that, because
yep.
I did really like his portrayal in that show, too. I think mm-hmm. they did a great
job. Yeah, I loved Deathstroke.
That was a good season.
Yeah.
That was season two,
yep.
right? The whole
yep.
Deathstroke season
yep.
was really good.
I think that was probably the best one.
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really, really great. But there's also they announced what the major villain's going to be as
for this
crossover event, right?
Yeah, they did. And it was cool to read about because it's an alien race called the Dominators, I believe it was. And truth be told, I had never heard of them.
Yeah, I don't know much about it.
Yeah, but they gave a description of what they were, and there was a story back in the 80s, and I think Todd McFarlane even did the art for it.
Cool.
And basically, in the story, I think it was a Legion of Superheroes that they had, that it was mainly focused on.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who else got involved, but it was a big DC... event of sorts, and basically this was an advanced alien race who kind of took note of how many super-powered beings were being created or coming into Earth or being born on Earth or whatever else, and
right.
they sort of get it into their heads that if all these super-powered beings are starting to come from Earth, probably humans are going to end up evolving into an advanced civilization themselves, maybe one that's even more advanced than us. So why don't we just nip this in the bud and take care of them now?
All right.
And so they come to eradicate us, you know.
Great.
And so, again, I don't think there's going to be, just based on, I mean, they're doing some stuff with the Legion of Superheroes and all that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Just based on the different mix of characters that are being involved, I don't think it's going to be any kind of direct adaptation of things that have happened in the past, but it's neat that they went back. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's still cool to see them adapt something
yep.
that comes straight from the books and everything.
Yep, exactly.
So that's really cool.
It's always fun to see that stuff.
Very comic booky feel. It's cool that they're bringing kind of like an alien thing mm-hmm. into those universes. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously Supergirl's an alien and everything, but still, like, that's not a... kind of thing we really see in like Arrow, you know?
Exactly.
So that's going to be kind of fun to see all these worlds collide like that for a big
exactly.
event. That's really
exactly.
cool. I'm excited for
they
that.
They did
I gotta catch up.
They did another one of those promos. They called it like Superhero Fight Club 2.0 or something like that, or DCU Fight Club 2.0. I haven't even actually seen the whole thing, but I saw the very beginning of it, and it starts, and it's Barry and the Green Arrow walking up to this chair, and they're saying something about it, and they pull the bag off of the person in the chair, and it's Supergirl, and she's just sitting there going, you know, I let you guys tie me to this chair, right? And Barry's just kind of sitting there, like, nodding, and Oliver's like, no, we got you.
And then, of course. Yeah,
just the amount of fun they're having
with
these shows, and it bleeds through at every part. You know, you can just tell how much joy the people are behind the scenes are putting into it,
and it
makes it that much more fun for the audience to watch this stuff. I love DC TV.
Yes, it's so good. It's so good. I can't wait till the seasons drop on Netflix too, so I can hurry up and get myself caught up.
I think they're starting next Monday.
You know,
October 3rd or 4th is when Flash and Arrow start hitting.
I got a little kink in my plan with all that, because Hulu doesn't carry the CW shows anymore. So they will not, they don't have the new seasons of Arrow and Flash and Supergirl. Hulu dumped CW. But on the flip side, apparently CW's got their own app and it's free and they're putting everything on their app.
I was just about to bring
that
up.
So I guess I can just flip on the CW app and watch them there.
Yeah, because remember, the CW is a national network.
Yeah.
So you can shove an antenna on your house, and if you point it in the right direction, you'll get
that
network. So the content is out there for you. It's just a matter of finding, especially in this day and age, finding the right way to do it.
Yeah.
When I was going to bring that up, I found out about that app myself today.
Oh, about the app. Yep. Yeah.
And I didn't realize they weren't doing them on Hulu anymore.
They're already gone.
Now that you say
that.
It's
already gone, too. Yeah. I looked. Everything's off.
Now that you say that, I knew it, but I didn't think about it at all.
Because my plan was we were going to try to hurry up and watch those seasons on Netflix when they dumped, and then start watching them, catch up and start watching them live on Hulu. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now it's not on Hulu, so I'll have to try the app. Do you have a
Chromecast?
I don't.
Because the app, I believe, is Chromecast capable. Now, you can check. They may even have versions on, like the PS4 or something like that.
I think it's for sure on the Xbox. I'll have to check the PS4 and see if it's there, too.
Okay.
But I'm pretty certain I read that you can at least get on the Xbox. So
okay.
I can.
And if you can't get it on something, get it on something you already own, Chromecasts are $35, and they're so useful.
Or I guess I can always you watch it on my computer or something if I really wanted to.
Yeah.
Either way, I'll figure it out. One more thing I wanted to bring up, too, with the DC stuff, because a few listeners actually pointed this out to us after our last discussion. We were kind of talking about, just briefly mentioning how it would be cool to have Bruce Wayne cameos or mentions or something. Mm-hmm. Apparently there was one that neither of us noticed, I guess. In the first episode of Flash, when they show the future newspaper, one of the headlines on the newspaper talks about a Wayne Enterprises merger of sorts. Yeah. And I didn't know that, but several people pointed it out to us after the last episode.
I must have been looking down at my cereal.
And I didn't notice it either. And I know that every time that newspaper pops up, I'm always trying to read the stuff on there. I never caught that.
Yeah.
So
that's great.
So they've thrown the Wayne name out on Flash, which is cool.
Yeah.
So, hey, that means he's there somewhere.
Well, bring him on.
He's there somewhere. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Bring him on. Let's do it. Well, let's get the Superman thing. We'll do that first. Then we'll do the Batman thing.
I watched, I turned the TV on the other day, and I mean, they're in the middle of season 4 of Gotham or something. Well, not in the beginning of season 4, whatever it was. Gotham was on, like Fox was on, and I've never watched Gotham, but I watched like 5 minutes of it. I don't have a clue what's going on in that show.
I don't either.
And that's an unfair thing to say for a show that you've never watched an episode of, and you're coming in the beginning of season 4. But I was just watching it like, it looked like there was a parade going on for the Penguin almost, but not a parade. There was like a bunch, I don't know if they were bad guys or what, but there was a bunch of goons like hoisting him up and cheering, Penguin, and then they switch over and Bruce and Alfred, you know, are having actually kind of an intense, neat conversation, but then they do somebody shows up and Alfred pulls a gun like it's an intruder and she comes in and I think it was the girl they got playing Selena Kyle.
Uh-huh.
But again, I'm not that familiar with the characters on that show even. This is not going to anything huge that I saw happen. It was just one of those things where I watched two or three scenes go by and I'm just like, man, this show seems all over the place. Which again, totally unfair. It probably made total sense if you were keeping up, but I was getting a headache, so.
I was going to say, that was another thing we actually had several comments on. There were a lot of people that were like, I like Gotham. You guys should watch it. So, and I know we were both kind of like, we've just not not watched it since the first episode.
Yeah, I never even watched
it. I don't know. Well, yeah. Maybe I'll go back to it.
I waited for more reviews to come in, and most of the people that I know personally that were watching it either stopped like halfway through season one or just weren't, you know, like they'll watch but they don't care that much.
Yeah.
And so it became one of those things where at the time I still didn't even know if it was going to be successful or picked up, so I just kind of, it wasn't on my radar. I think back then I wasn't even caught up on Arrow and stuff when it first happened. Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to go over to the one that everybody's raving about and catch up on it.
Watch that.
And then I'll worry about the other stuff later.
Awesome. All right, well, let's go ahead now and jump into film. But we're going to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about Disney. One of the big announcements this week.
That's kind of all we ever talk about.
We do talk about a lot of Disney.
Yeah.
But more like than
they're Marvel and Star Wars.
Well, we're switching gears from DC to Disney. How about that? So Disney's big announcement this week that's had the internet talking is the official announcement that they are joining forces with Jon Favreau to release a live-action version of The Lion King. So this, of course, continues the trend that they've done recently. I mean, they did Maleficent, they did Cinderella, Jungle Book was the most recent one, which was pretty successful. Beauty and the Beast is coming out next, which looks awesome from all the teasers they've shown of it. So they're just going to continue that trend and go right into The Lion King, which I think makes perfect sense considering how well Jungle Book did. Why not jump into another all-animal cast movie?
And Favreau did Jungle Book. And did amazing.
Right.
You know, that movie was great. And again, I was trying to explain to people after I saw it, like, it's Jungle Book. I mean, to a T, you're not going to find any surprises or anything like that particularly, but it is so just amazing to look at. And as good as special effects have gotten nowadays, and as oversaturated as the movie marketplace is with those special effects, like, even the ones that aren't that good are 10 times better than what we had 20 years ago, you know? So you see stuff like that all the time now. So when you go see a movie where you're like, okay, talking animals, whatever, you know?
Right.
And then you watch it and you really are just amazed with every new shot, you know? That's it's a rare thing. So it's really cool. And it makes me really excited about A Lion King beyond the fact that it's The Lion King.
Right.
I already know they have a successful way of pulling off this type of movie.
Yeah.
And that makes me super excited to see what they do here.
I think it's going to be fun. What's your take on the whole remake thing with these movies? Does that bother you at all?
No, the live action version? I think it's super neat.
I think it's pretty cool too. I know when they first started announcing these, that was my initial thought. Ugh, why? Why are they doing that? Yeah. Why do we need live action versions of these perfect animated movies? But just, you know, like, Maleficent wasn't great, but it was okay for what it was. But I feel like since then, they've just really kind of amped it up a little bit. Like, I haven't seen Jungle Book yet, but I've heard nothing but reviews. It's like, everybody loves that movie. And, you know, Beauty and the Beast was another one that people were like, why would they do a live-action version? But then with, like, every little teaser or picture that comes out from it, it's everybody's kind of like, okay, this looks really good. Well, you know what I mean? So,
you know, there's some of these that I'm not, you know, I didn't care about Maleficent, so I didn't see it. I wasn't...
That one was almost more of a reimagining.
Yeah,
it actually was a remake of Sleeping Beauty.
So was the Snow White one.
Was it?
Yeah. See, which remind me, did Disney? It had to be Disney who did the Snow White one, wasn't it? But it
Snow White? No,
it wasn't them.
No, that wasn't the Disney one. You're talking about like the Snow White and the Huntsman. Yeah, that's not Disney's.
Okay,
nope.
Okay,
Cinderella is Disney's. Did you see Cinderella?
No, that's the one we tried to. I should go again now that she's a little bit older. We took my daughter to see it. She was just a little over 3 at the time. It was like the second time we tried taking her to a movie. They did the Frozen cartoon at the beginning of it.
Right.
So she was enthralled through that, and then the movie started, and within about 10 minutes, she's just like, where's the dress? What's going on? I don't know. And in fairness, she hadn't ever actually seen Cinderella.
So she didn't know there was a build-up
even the cartoon.
Dress.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
She didn't know what was going on or why they were people. She was just bored out of her wits, so
that's
we
left. That's not Cinderella. You know, that's not a blue dress.
Yeah, but I wanted to see that real, real bad, and it looked very good. And the ones that really stay true to the story are the ones that excite me a little bit more.
Exactly. And I think Lion King's going to be really good. I'm totally fine with them doing this as long as they're doing them proper. And, you know, I mean, how many years are we out from the original one now? That came out in the 90s?
Lion King was 94.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, 95. It's been...
95, right. I believe.
So it's been, you know, over 20 years or whatever.
Now I gotta look that up.
Getting a remake isn't that big of a deal 20-some years later, and I don't really mind it. I think it's kind of fun. It does say on here that, like Beauty, the upcoming Beauty and the Beast movie, Lion King will include the songs from the animated film. So they're gonna use the songs from the animated movie, which I think is awesome, because those are perfect songs. It does kind of bring to question... I wonder what their plans are for casting for a movie like this. Because thinking about it, like, you know, Lion King's got a lot of really iconic voices, and those guys are all still around. Like, can James Earl Jones go ahead and just voice Mufasa? Because who else is going to do that? You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, is Elton John going to come back and do the songs? I mean, Elton John wrote all the songs for that movie,
Matthew Broderick was, he did at least the one.
I'm pretty sure he did the whole soundtrack for that movie. So, like, is he going to be involved since they're using his songs?
I don't know.
You know, it's just, that's the kind of stuff I was really wondering about.
I mean, The Jungle Book, they used some of the original music, too.
And I almost wondered...
their versions of it, but they didn't, I mean, they had the current actors doing the songs and everything, so... it's always good to hear Christopher Walken sing.
Yeah, Christopher Walken. Yeah, and you brought up... Matthew Broderick, too, because he was the voice of Simba in the old one. I actually kind of wonder if, with this newer version being like a live-action version, and of course this is a film set in Africa, maybe some of the characters should be kind of more recast with more authentic voices, more authentic actors to play these characters, since it's set in Africa.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking along the lines of like the way they handle the Lion King Broadway musical, if you've ever seen that. It's really, really awesome. It's really cool. But I would, you know, I think that would actually be a good fit, having those, you know, actors that are a little bit more authentic for the role voicing the characters would make total sense for a live action version of this movie. So, but I don't know. I still want James Earl Jones and Mufasa for sure.
You know, I'm sure they'll throw some big names in there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Because that's sort of what they do. It'll be interesting too, because with the Jungle Book, you at least had that one human character to kind of really associate the audience with.
This is gonna be all animals.
Yeah, it'll be kind of interesting to see how that plays out with nothing there for that. I mean, I don't think it's gonna be difficult, especially with kids involved. You know, kids are smart. They're going to know who to cheer for.
All I know is that we now have to sit through the death of Mufasa again, and that's always sad.
Oh, so man, I hope they get Jeremy Irons.
Oh, man, how great. Yeah, I know. He's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to get any of these people. No, but we can sit here and hope.
What a great voice he was for that character, too. Good stuff, indeed. Yeah, I don't know. I'm totally cool with this. I'm excited to see it. And, you know, if this does well and if Beauty and the Beast is awesome, I say bring on Aladdin next, because Aladdin is my favorite Disney movie.
Mine, too.
And I would love to see that one.
My kids are in a big Aladdin kick right now.
Are they?
Yep.
I saw that on Broadway, too, which was awesome.
They did that on Broadway.
Yeah, they did on Broadway. I saw it a few years ago when I was in New York for Toy Fair. I took Christina to see Aladdin on Broadway. It was super good.
Never take me to Broadway.
I've never taken John to Broadway. I'm sorry, John.
It's okay.
One day.
It happens. So, but yeah, I'm just wondering if Favreau's just going to be their animal movie guy. So, like... a couple years from now, are they going to call Favreau and ask him to do, like, a DuckTales movie?
Oh, my gosh. Live action DuckTales? Sign me up.
Yep.
Jon Favreau, dude, he's just, like, look.
He's awesome.
He's the father of, basically, our Marvel Cinematic Universe by giving us Iron Man. Now he's making these amazing Disney live action movies. Like, what?
He's going to be in Spider-Man.
He's, like, Disney's golden boy right now.
Have we talked about that yet?
Oh, he's in Spider-Man?
Yeah, they got Happy Hogan.
Is he being Happy Hogan? He's playing the same character?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure it'll probably just be like a scene, but still awesome.
That's still wonderful that they're bringing him back for that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Man, I can't wait for that movie. It's going to be awesome.
They're getting more and more pictures popping up of it, and I'm kind of...
Every time.
Avoiding's not the right word, but I'm sort of like...
I saw an amazing shot the other day of him with his mask kind of pulled up where you can see his mouth, but he's like in an amazing like pose, and I'm just like, oh my God, it looks so good.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, I catch a lot of the like small versions of the pictures. I just keep going like, oh, that looks awesome. I don't want to click on it too much. I just kind of want to like let this absorb in.
Yeah.
There's so much going on between now and then. We still got a whole other Guardians to go and all sorts of stuff. So I'm just going to let it stew for a while.
Yeah. It's going to be good. I can't wait. Cool. All right, so we got a ton of fan questions again. So I figured we'll go ahead and flip the switch and start answering some of these questions now that are on our Facebook page. If any of you guys ever have topic suggestions or any questions you want to ask us, you can head on over to facebook.com/geekeasypodcast and post them there. I always try to put up a post the week that I know for sure we're recording to kind of remind everybody, and that's where everybody tends to usually pop their questions in. So definitely head over there, give us a like, and that way you can submit your own questions for us. We're going to go ahead and start off with our good pal, Jack Starrow, who always gives us these amazing, thought-provoking questions. So we're going to kick one off from him.
He's today. Our show's best writer.
He is. He really is. So this time he says, okay, this is a Marvel good yay versus DC TV good yay question. Does it bug you how little Marvel's ABC and Netflix shows, ostensibly set in the MCU, actually cross over with the movies in any substantive way? I don't know if it's a contractual thing where the movie actors being considered too big to guest star on TV, and perhaps conversely, the TV characters being regarded as too minor to appear in the MCU movies. But it seems like these shows and films exist in a unified continuity only by the merest of technicalities. Do you think this kind of creative synergy is actually worthwhile if the links can only be so tenuous? Is it better to have separate universes for TV and film like DC is doing, and allow each continuity to have their own versions of Flash, Superman, etc., and not be so restricted by having to fit it into the movie versus television pecking order? Or is having alternative, simultaneous film and TV continuities too confusing for fans? Love the show. Catch you guys later. That is a really good question, actually, especially with everything we've been talking about, because it's so funny how with the DC side, we are totally cool with it being separate, but that really stems from the fact that we're not enjoying what they're doing in the movies, yeah, and that we are enjoying what they're doing on TV, so we kind of want it to stay that way. With the MCU, I'm kind of loving everything that's going on, and so I'm not super worried about it, I don't think, in that world. Like, I'm totally fine with my Captain America and Iron Man and all the big names kind of playing only on the silver screen, mm-hmm, while we're watching all of the smaller stuff happening on the ground floor, mm-hmm, around everything that they're doing. I think that's actually a really good formula, and it works totally fine for me, especially in the Netflix world. I love the Netflix world that they've created. Getting to see Daredevil and Punisher and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage is coming up pretty soon. I think that is a total blast. And the types of characters that they are, I feel like that's the perfect spot for them. Because we're getting great stories of these, you know, like, they're well-known comic book characters, but they're not necessarily the type of characters who could be successful in a movie or would even get green lit for a movie because they're not Captain America or Superman, mm-hmm, or Spider-Man or a household name. But we're still getting these amazing stories because they're trusting, because Marvel is being so successful up here with the big names on the silver screen, they're getting allowed to play in this bigger sandbox on TV. So I think it's working in a perfect connection that way. Like, a good synergy, I think, is going well. And I'm totally fine with, like, kind of these street-level shows, not necessarily tying directly into what's happening in the movies, but I love it when there are, like, the little Easter eggs or the fun things that remind you, oh, yeah, they are in the same world. You know, because, gosh, a big part of the Netflix stuff is them constantly talking about, you know, the New York event, the big, mm-hmm, event that happened in New York, and how that changed things, and how it changed the way people are looking at the supers and stuff like that. Like, that, I feel like that did affect these shows. And while it may not be a huge storyline thing that plays directly into the movies, what has happened in the movies definitely directs what's going on, affects what's going on in those shows. And, mm-hmm, I think that is perfectly fine, mm, in my opinion. I like that.
Yep. I think they play it about as perfectly as they can. And, you know, if I could see movie quality Iron Man show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. three times a year, would I take it? Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's, yeah, fine, for sure.
However, actually,
it was really cool when we got to see Fury on there a couple,
yeah,
of times.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That was
and,
awesome.
The, you know, Lady Sif,
uh-huh,
you know, showed up for a couple of, you know, and they've got the
Lady Slither? Is that her name?
No, lady. It's the from the Thor movies.
Sif. Lady
okay.
Sif.
Yep.
I know you're talking about.
Jamie Alexander.
Gotcha.
Yeah, she showed up on a couple episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Gotcha. You know?
And they do their interactions between. Honestly, I really do think they work it in a perfect sense. And as much as I say, as a fan, would I take the Iron Man appearances? Sure, absolutely, because that stuff's neat. But you kind of walk that line. It's the same thing I was just discussing earlier about I'm a little nervous with Superman being thrust into the CW world because as much as I want that Superman as a TV show on the CW because I think I would love it, you don't want his presence to negate the rest of the shows all of a sudden. You know, because there are some of these problems that they've gotten into on Arrow and Flash where if they had a Superman in that world, these wouldn't be problems, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you kind of have to have that balancing act. So the way they set up all this Marvel stuff seems kind of perfect to me because you have your different tiers and they play so perfectly within their own level and they can reach out into each other just enough to where you do feel that it's all connected, but at the same time, you know, I know when I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. that they're in that world. I get my references to the Avengers. And so I get that feeling of camaraderie, of jointness. But at the same time, like, the Hulk is still the main event.
Yeah.
The Hulk is still the thing I'll go out and pop out $10 for once every couple of years when he shows up. You know? And the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. are what keeps me connected to that universe, but moves me step by step. And even mixing within the TV universes themselves, I've heard some speculation, some rumor that people are looking for connections between, like, the idea that maybe Frank Castle might show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at some point, which would be super neat. But I tell you what, I don't want to see that week to week because I don't want to see Frank from Netflix come into the world of ABC where he can't do 90% of that stuff, you know?
That's true.
Like, if he showed up for a couple of episodes, I'm sure they could work it storyline-wise where they just don't show the more gruesome parts, and it would be awesome. But if he just became a character on that show, it wouldn't be Frank anymore.
They got Ghost Rider now, though, too. How cool is that, you know? Like, they've got a big Marvel character there that they can kind of do their own thing with on S.H.I.E.L.D., and I think that's awesome. And that's another fun thing, too, just kind of sidetracking a little bit. How neat would it be if, like, that becomes, like, the new format of the show? Like, every season, it's basically, like, another one of these kind of super-powered guys popping up and S.H.I.E.L.D. having to basically kind of work around him or with him.
That would be
like,
awesome.
You know, Ghost Rider's this season, and the next season it's a whole different guy that they've got to deal with.
I almost feel the way that they're marketing this season, because they've practically, I mean, they've changed all the logos in the marketing to where it basically reads as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider.
Yeah, it's like a Ghost Rider show this season.
And so it's kind of one of those things where, like, maybe they're just doing that one and done because they've got this big name character that they're throwing on there, or maybe they're going to do exactly what you're talking about. Maybe they're going to start doing the subtitling, so you can
I think it's a good move for the show.
Oh,
really.
For sure.
I think
sure.
It's good, but
so I mean, I said I don't know if that really answers the question. Well, I guess it does. I mean, do I think it's okay the way they do that, or is it too tenuous? No, I don't think it's too tenuous at all. I think it's just about perfect.
I think it's like a comic book.
Yep, exactly. And from that storytelling perspective, again, you know, I get the desire to keep seeing these guys. Mm-hmm. I have the desire also, but from a storytelling perspective, I totally get that. Even if you had an unlimited budget, and bear in mind, You sort of mentioned, you know, are the big names too big to come to TV? I don't know how much behind the scenes stuff there is involved there. They're also different divisions, so I don't know how super well they work together. Maybe those are factors. Maybe they're not. The budget for an entire season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would probably go into 1 week of Robert Downey Jr.'s trailer. That would be my guess. So that's probably a concern at some point. But even if we lived in a world where the special effects and the budgets were equal throughout and they could do whatever they wanted, I still wouldn't want to see it all the time, because then there's no reason for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to exist anymore. At that point, it's just the Iron Man show.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And I like what they're doing with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I like those characters, and I think they're fully capable of running with their own thing, and I enjoy what they're doing with it, you know. And remember, too, there is the storyline purpose for the whole, you know, because you could still have Phil Coulson jumping back and forth between the TV and the movies, but they have their canon for why they can't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the Avengers still think he's dead.
The Avengers still think he's dead.
And he's
the reason they united.
Yep. And they did do that bit at the end of season 2 He's the one who got the location for the staff that led directly into the scene from Age of Ultron. They do, I mean, they do affect each other back and forth.
I think that's fun when they do that, too, and I'm totally fine with it being that way. Yep. So, and, you know, and then going back to your part of, like, which is better, I really do think it just depends on the circumstances, mm-hmm. because I think DC is doing just fine the way they've got it, too. Like, in a perfect world, it'd been cool if they did work it out the perfect way that Marvel has, but they didn't, and they're not going to. At this point, let's just leave those separate and let them do their own things, because DC TV is killing it, and I don't really want those to be affected by their movies at this point. So,
and they don't need it.
No, they don't. They really don't. They're doing great on their own, and they've got big... I mean, like, they gave Flash a TV show, and Flash is arguably one of DC's bigger characters, so that's pretty cool. So, yeah, I think it just depends on the circumstance.
They gave him such a good TV show.
They gave him such a good TV show. Love it. All right, so next question comes from our good personal friend Justin Jones, who says, DC Rebirth event. Just kidding. Gilmore Girls.
Yay, Gilmore.
All right, so this
we're only 2 months away.
That's right.
Less than 2 months.
Just for Justin Jones, we have some new Gilmore Girls news to discuss. Just today, actually, which, by the way, happy National Coffee Day, Jonathan.
If I would have known that, I would have had that sixth cup.
So to celebrate National Coffee Day, you know, since the Gilmore Girls are such big coffee drinkers, they released a new poster for the Netflix show, which is just, it's cute. It's just Lorelai and Rory holding coffee cups up over their faces with the Gilmore Girls logo.
Coffee cups that are bigger than their heads, it looks like.
But it's cute, and my wife got excited when she saw it. And, the four-part event starts November 25th, so we're getting pretty close.
Are they releasing all four of those? Are they the same day, or is it like one day apart or something like that? It was something weird about the release schedule.
Really? So they're not going to just drop it all at once do with most
stuff? Well, and that's what I think they're not. I think they're doing it in different days, but it's like...
And each episode takes place during a different season of a year, right?
Yes.
That's going to be
crazy.
Yeah,
and I think they're all 2 hours. Well,
all movies.
I don't know if 2 hours boils down to like an hour and a half like it would for normal TV since there's no commercials or anything, but somewhere in that 90 to 120 minute range, I believe. So they'll play like movies, but I think, and I could be wrong, or maybe I was right and they changed it, but I think they're doing, like, the 25th, they'll release one, and then the 26th, another, and then the 20th. It's one of those weird things, too, because it's like, why not just throw them out there that one day? Is it really that big of a deal to have to wait, you know, 22 hours to watch the second part? How many people are going to sit there and watch all four of them back-to-back anyway? But, whatever.
Yep.
There's got to be a reason for
it. Either way, there you go, Justin Jones. Yep. Gilmore Girls are coming back. You want to come over and watch it with us?
You should totally come
over. You should totally come over and watch it with us.
Yep.
All right, our other good personal friend, Jacob, writes on here, the new Tick series has been picked up by Amazon as well as Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that news. I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah, me too. I kept waiting for it because they've announced a couple of other Amazon original series that weren't even on the pilot season thing recently. Yeah. So every time one pops up, I'm like, is no news good news or is no news bad news? But then they finally released the good news. So.
Yeah. So I'll definitely be tuning in for Tick, I think, to watch that. That's really exciting. Same here. I have not watched Jean-Claude Van Johnson yet.
I liked it.
It was good?
It's goofy.
I think I want to give it a chance because it just looks like one of those really goofy types of things that I would totally love.
Yeah, so. I just think it's funny that Jean-Claude Van Damme's claim to fame now is just playing himself in totally different genre pieces.
Yeah.
You know, because they did that JCVD movie a while back where he just plays himself in the middle of a bank robbery.
It's so funny.
And now they've got this where, I mean, the whole point of this show is basically he's like a private security secret agent. And
wonderful.
Yeah, and you know, and so the movies are all covers.
Oh,
you know, and he's gotten out of the business for a while, but now he's been drugged back in for whatever reason.
they always do.
They're doing this. They're doing this Huck Finn remake, but it's like you remember that Hansel and Gretel movie that came out.
Yeah,
it's like that version of a Huck Finn.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I think
I've got to watch this.
Yeah, I think he's playing Huck Finn, but Tom Sawyer is this like blonde supermodel. chick that he's running around with.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it looks super campy. And then, you know, at nights when he's not filming, he goes on these missions. it's pretty funny. I will give it more of a shot because I really like that first episode. I am questioning if they'll be able to keep that up for a full season or if that's one of those bits that they're just going to have to keep going back to the well. But,
yeah,
you know, Amazon's got a pretty good Emmy-winning track record. So let's hope that they see something in the show and that there is more than just that one-note joke, because right. I was pretty excited about the first one.
That's awesome. I want to check that out now. All right. Ben Dobbs writes in and says, okay, guys, here's my question, and I've given it some thought. Given that there are a lot of toy companies that produce toys based on movies, if you were to have an action figure based on yourselves, who would produce it? What scale would it be? How many points of articulation would it have? What scale or size? What accessories would it come with? How would they be themed, et cetera, et cetera? He also puts in parentheses, Pixel Dan, I'm already aware that you have a Funko Pop vinyl and a Masters of the Universe figure, so you may have to rethink your choice. Looking forward to my answer. Love your show. Crazy. Yeah, that's funny. I have some custom figures he mentioned. Actually, my Pop vinyl is right behind you, if you want to grab that. That's really cool. This was given to me, actually, at one of the most recent conventions I went to by the awesome people at Nerd Therapy. Their YouTube channel that focuses specifically, basically, on the Funko stuff, and he makes awesome customs, and he made this of me, and it's in this crazy package. It's wonderful. I love it. So I've already got my toy. What's your toy, John?
I don't have any toys.
I know.
No, I read that question earlier too, and like my head started spinning. I'm like, I don't even know where to begin.
It's a tough question.
Yeah, it really is.
I've been asked that before, and yeah. I never really know how to answer that, because first of all, I'm just some dude sitting here on a podcast right yep. now. That's not a very exciting action figure, is it?
Oh, I mean, they make, you know, I got a J. Jonah Jameson action
That's
figure
true. Okay.
at right. home. It looks just like J.K. Simmons, because it's from the first
from
Spider-Man
the
movie,
yeah.
so it's pretty awesome. But they can make figures out of anything. I guess the only thing that keeps popping into my mind is, you remember those old, like, Wrestle Buddies, like the plush ones, they were practically stuffed animals?
Yeah.
I think that'd be me. I get, you know.
That's amazing.
Soft to cuddly if you need that. If you just need something to beat up, he's there for you too. Whatever.
I am in. Yeah. All right. Who out there wants to help us fund a Jonathan, what were those called? Wrestling Buddy. Yeah. A Jonathan Wrestling Buddy. I am so in for that. That is,
I don't know how much funding that would even take. Just throw a couple of pillows together and put glasses on it.
That's
it's fine.
So cool. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. I don't even know. We can come with all kinds of accessories, I guess. We can have, like, a little computer that I'm always sitting at editing videos constantly, or you can put the little microphone in front of my face, or, you know, maybe some little action figures for me to put in my hands and review. That'd be fun. I can have all kinds of accessories. I guess I would probably be, like, a 6-inch scale figure, because that's my favorite scale figures to collect. So, you know, like Marvel Legends size. I probably don't need to be crazy super articulated, though, because I'm not, like, that flexible. And all I really got to do is be able to film toys and then sit at my computer. So that's what you get from me. That's my toy. Anybody want to buy it?
Hey, we skipped a part earlier.
Did we skip a part?
I think the second or third time. One of Jacob's questions.
Oh, one of Jacob's questions. Okay.
With the Arrow.
Gotcha. I forgot. Yeah.
Yep, I meant to bring it up when we were talking about Arrow earlier, and then I sort of missed my spot. So I thought, well, when we get to the questions, I'll bring it up then.
Yeah.
And then I missed my spot again.
So he wanted to know. Well, that was my fault. I missed your spot. Will Arrow ever find its way back to the levels of promise that it showed with season 2?
Yeah. Which, to kind of go through that train. I thought 1 was amazing, and I'm trying to remember Jacob's standpoint on some of these. I don't think he liked 1 nearly as much as I did season 1.
He didn't like 1 as much. I remember talking about that when I was watching it first. He was posting that on my page.
Yeah. He loved 2.
Yeah.
I don't know if he liked 3 at all, and I know he hated 4.
And I haven't seen 4 yet, but I keep hearing that it's not the best season.
No, it's not. And it's pretty disappointing, because the guy they got playing the bad guy is one of my favorite bad guys out there. I'm drawing a blank on his name. It's the guy who played Dum Dum Dugan in the Captain America. You know,
cool,
the guy from Walking Tall. The bad guy from Walking
Tall.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, 4 is not the best. I don't think I had quite the vitriol for it that some people did. But 2, I think, is the standout. Probably everyone would agree that season 2 was amazing. And then there's been kind of a steady drop-off since then. So will and can it ever return to that? Yeah, obviously, anything that reaches that height can get back there. And I'll have nothing but faith that it can, since I'm pretty high on what CW does with TV, so let's just hope that season 5 does that.
But I did want to bring up, I was reading an interesting article, and I got to get better on remembering where I catch this stuff, or at least giving credit to who's out there writing it, because somebody wrote a pretty thought-provoking article, and I didn't even look at their name. And that's rude.
That's, you know, I bet that's what most people do, though.
Yeah, probably. But most people aren't going on a podcast to talk about it, you know.
True.
So, professional courtesy. My bad. I'm new at this. Anyways, basically, the kind of the point was, you know, Arrow got this whole thing started.
Right.
And brought a bunch of viewers in and opened the doors for The Flash, which opened the door for Legends of Tomorrow and for other networks to look at things like Supergirl and pick it up.
Right.
But as soon as that other stuff started coming in, it started edging Arrow out, like, immediately. Like, the quality on Arrow dropped off and the quality on this other stuff kind of rose up. And I know viewership had fallen particularly low last year because of the subpar delivering of the season. And so the question was basically, how necessary is Arrow to this universe even?
Oh, wow.
You know, and one of the point he brought up in the article, which is dead on, is, you know, the fifth year here is the year where you hit your 100th episode. 100 episodes of something is a big deal for syndication. So rarely do you see a show that makes it 4 seasons that doesn't make it 5.
Yeah.
You know, because usually getting to that mark is worth, even if nobody's watching your show anymore, it's worth getting there just for syndication purposes for a network. But if Arrow doesn't pick it up this season, and if it doesn't get the viewership back, if it stays in that toilet and it's already hit its 100th episode, there's no more milestones to look forward to. Is there going to be a point for it?
Oh,
you know?
Wow.
So it kind of makes you think, you know, from a business standpoint and from a creative standpoint, if it doesn't rise itself back up, you know, will there be an Arrow after season 5 to worry about? And when you have the revelation like that of, yeah, I mean, the numbers don't lie, and, you know, season 5, they had to bring it back, and they're already talking about how big the 100th episode is going to be because it's with that crossover. Now, I've heard some early reviews of the beginning of season 5.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell anything from one episode, but they've been positive. They've been very positive. Couple of places I saw basically said that they were kind of returning to the roots of where season 1 and 2 were. There's hopeful for much stronger storytelling to go through. Cool. And with all the crossover stuff they've got going on, as long as Oliver's a pretty big part of that, and again, he'll be filling the Batman role.
Basically,
for this universe. So if they do that well, I think everything's going to be fine. And again, to answer your question, do I ever think it'll get there? I mean, it certainly can. There's no doubt in my mind that it can. I just have to hope that it does.
Will it is the question, yeah. I guess.
So let's have this discussion in 5 to 10 more episodes.
Yeah.
And see where we're sitting.
All right, Ryan Farr writes in with, okay, here's his question. Can you guys talk about all the Comic-Con news, the Justice League trailer, all the Marvel stuff, all the news with upcoming movies? Vulture confirmed as the villain for Spider-Man Homecoming, Kurt Russell playing Ego the Living Planet in Guardians of the Galaxy, Hulk getting Planet Hulk Gladiator armor in Thor the Dark World, etc. He wants us to talk about everything.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I guess to be fair, we did miss some of that stuff because we had a gap in recording. I'm certain we talked about the Justice League trailer. I know that we talked about it at least a little bit.
Yeah.
But we can touch on some of this other stuff real quick. What is it for sure that Vulture is the villain in Spider-Man Homecoming? We might have talked about that.
As far as I know, too. I think that's. Yeah. I think Michael Keaton playing Tombs is confirmed.
Is Keaton confirmed?
Yep.
Okay, I do remember when Keaton was in the running. I'm pretty sure we talked about that a little bit.
Well,
that's awesome.
He was in, and then he was out, and then he was in again.
He's in again.
Yeah.
That's great. That's going to be awesome.
And Shocker is confirmed to show up at some point.
I saw the picture of him, actually, and he looks like comic book Shocker.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen a picture.
Amazing.
That's awesome.
You remember in... We have had these discussions in the past, and I don't think we've ever, maybe in old episodes of the podcast, but we have had discussions going back as far as the old Spider-Man movies, saying things like, how come these movies can't start with Spider-Man just beating up some subpar villain like the Shocker?
Mm-hmm.
They're totally doing that, aren't they?
I hope so.
They're totally doing that.
I hope so. Well, they did that in one... Do you remember? I don't remember which one it was. They did that in one of the video games. One of the open world
Shocker.
Spider-Man video
games.
Shocker.
It was Shocker.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was Shocker for sure. I don't remember which video game it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, you start off and like you start off in the game and it feels like it's kind of a boss battle, but it's a Shocker. So you just dispatch of him very quickly.
Yeah.
And then as you're flying around, it's one of those, you know, where you're swinging around and the different missions pop up and sometimes they're repetitive. And, you know, every 20 minutes or so, you just run into the Shocker trying to rob a bank or something, and you just beat him up again. See, and
that's
move along.
So good. Yeah. That's so good.
Well, where is the cinematic? And if they do, what if they do five of these movies and every one of them starts with him capturing the Shocker again? How awesome would that be?
That would be so good. I'm in. I'm in.
There's so many characters in that movie and so many actors in that movie. Did we ever go over the controversy with the girl that's playing Mary Jane? I don't think we ever brought that up, did we?
No.
Have you seen anything like that?
I have seen a little bit of it.
Okay. Because she's of mixed race descent or something like that.
Yeah.
So then there's...
So, you know, because, well, I mean, everybody's used to Mary Jane being a redhead.
Yeah.
But I'm totally okay with this casting.
Oh, for sure.
I don't see any... I mean, you know what? It doesn't bother me,
yeah.
So...
You know, I looked at that girl in the face.
Yeah.
And they showed her side by side with, like, the original debut of, you know, the...
Right.
Face of Tiger, you just hit the jackpot. She looks so much more like Mary Jane than any Mary Jane they've put out there.
Right. Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah, you know.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I know that Mary Jane's red hair is kind of like an iconic trademark, but the important thing here is she needs to look unobtainable for a guy like Peter Parker.
Yeah.
That's the key thing with Mary Jane.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's good casting. I'm totally excited to see it. Yeah, I
know. And people get so up in arms about some of that. And again, there have been race changes in casting before that have bugged me.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't think of one off the top of my head, but I promise you they've been out there.
Yeah.
But
I think the
ones that bug me are the ones where they clearly, like, it's still bad casting.
Well, I think we were a little irked a little bit in Worst-tastic Four, how they did Sue and Johnny and then made one of them adopted. And we were just like, what was the point of doing the adoption thing?
Yeah.
We didn't really understand that.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the actors were fine. It had nothing to do really with them. I didn't understand
the whole adoption. But that does change the dynamic of the characters.
It changed the dynamic.
And for no particular reason.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't play into what they were doing.
And again, that was
just a thing.
That was less like, why is Johnny Storm black? And it was more like, why isn't Sue Storm
black? Exactly.
You know, like, why didn't they do one or the other?
Why did they, why did they have to do the adoption thing? I don't know.
Yeah. So, but stuff like that. But again, when it's bad casting, I remember when they were long ago when they were talking about doing a Superman movie, and one of the big things was like they were going to make Chris Rock Jimmy Olsen. You know, and it's like, well, like, that's just the weirdest little stunt cast. You know, like, I'm not upset about a black Jimmy Olsen. I'm upset about a Chris Rock Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. Because
that sounds bad. So stuff like that. But people get so caught up in this thing, and that's kind of exactly my point. Like, be upset when they do bad casting. Don't be upset when the look's just a little bit off. Because, again, if you look at this girl next to what Mary Jane looks like, she looks way more like Mary Jane than either of the other two movie ones. Because the Amazing Universe never had one, but I think they had cast Shailene Woodley as her, who looked less like her than Kirsten Dunst would have, you know?
Well, I just think it's super funny that they totally cast Emma Stone as Gwen Stacy when she totally looks like Mary Jane. You know what I mean? Like, she's a Mary Jane for sure.
Yeah. Well, but so, her is more hair only, I think.
Yeah.
Because you've got that point, you know, like...
That's true,
Emma Stone's very beautiful, but I don't know if she's that same level of unattainable as you just put it.
That I guess
you know
that's
what
true.
I mean? So.
She was a pretty good Gwen, too. Though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So they're just not doing Gwen in this new universe,
you know, they haven't announced who everybody is.
I think
this girl got announced accidentally as to who she was playing.
It just makes me think, like, if they're doing Mary Jane already, they must be skipping Gwen, because they might be because they just did Gwen in those other movies.
Well, I mean,
again,
Gwen might be in there, too.
Might be.
You know, we don't know.
She's technically supposed to be his first love.
Yeah.
So
there's a lot of things they could be doing. And I'm only 99% sure that this girl was even confirmed as Mary Jane.
I just remember there was a stink about it on the internet again. All right.
The internet.
Well, that's going to bring us to the last topic we're going to talk about today, which is a question from Michael that says, how about the Transformers Nazi controversy? I'm not a fan of the Bay movies, but it is an interesting topic.
Mm-hmm.
Had you heard about this yet?
No, not until the question came.
Yeah, this is kind of interesting. So if you guys haven't heard this news yet, this is something that just broke recently here, just within the last week, with the filming of Transformers The Last Knight, which is the new movie that they're doing. It says in this news story here from Slash Film, last week we learned that Transformers The Last Knight would be bringing Hitler and the Nazis into the equation somehow. This information came to light because the...
It's just a funny sentence.
It is a funny sentence.
I really gotta go see what happened in 4.
Nothing that makes this make any sense. There were some dinosaurs and stuff in 4, but I don't know. So, it goes on to say, this information came to light because the sequel is currently filming in the United Kingdom, and one of their locations includes Blenheim Palace in Oxfordshire, England, the home of Winston Churchill. The home has been draped in giant Nazi flags and surrounded by their artillery and stormtroopers. This upset some veterans groups, and it stirred up quite the controversy across the pond. So, based on that, I can totally understand why some veterans groups are probably a little upset. Sure. Like, and you know, movies have Nazis and Hitler and stuff like that, and I'm not opposed to that sort of thing.
Well, read Bay's response.
Okay, yeah, let's go on. Bay's response real quick. I just want to say, people were not fortunate enough to read the script, and they don't know that Churchill is in this movie and he's a big hero. And Churchill would be smiling about Last Knight. They haven't seen the movie, they don't know the ending, and they don't know how Churchill is a hero in this movie. So, as the staff said, he'd be smiling right now. That's Michael Bay's response to veterans groups being upset about this.
I want to throw this out there, because I like Michael Bay movies. I liked 2 of the 3 Transformers movies I've seen. So I'm not the Bay-bashing internet or Transformer-bashing internet guy by any means. But the sentence of, these guys weren't fortunate enough to read the script for Transformers 5 gives me pause. Because as entertaining as those movies can be, and I get the draw to them for sure, it ain't the writing that I'm pretty sure the script is Bay and a few of those guys sitting around in a circle going, hey, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? And then it just sort of happens.
Explosions! You know? Explosions! Yeah.
Like, I'm really picturing the whole way Hitler got into this movie is because Bay just went, hey, Marky Mark, what do you want to do in the next Transformers? I don't know, fight Hitler?
Fight Hitler?
And then boom.
Say hello to Hitler. Your mother for me.
That's an SNL throwback.
Yeah.
For anybody who wasn't watching Saturday Night Live about a decade ago, go. I think all the clips are on the NBC website. Go find Mark Wahlberg. Talks to animals. Yeah. And you're welcome.
Yeah, good stuff. John, I think you're just butthurt because you weren't fortunate enough to read the script for Transformers The Last Knight.
You know, I was on the mailing list, and I just never got my copy.
So, okay, let's address this issue here real quick. The reason that the veterans groups are upset is because the actual home of Winston Churchill, who's like a real-life war hero, is currently draped in Nazi flags.
Yeah.
That's probably not okay. Yep.
I will back you with putting Nazis in your movie. I will back you with having Churchill be a character and him become the hero. But, like, no one's upset because those things are happening. People are upset because you went to his house and defamed it.
Yes.
You got to be smart enough to just build a set.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, why? I don't know. I don't really get that. So,
yep.
I'm in a position where I understand why the veterans groups are upset.
For sure.
It makes total sense to me. And I guess I'm interested to see why there's Nazis and that's kind of my point.
Even when he goes, no, you haven't read the script, you don't understand, he's a big hero in the movie. Like, that's fine. Even if they did read the script, you still don't use his house.
You for can that, do this, you know? Without using his real house. Oh, gosh. Good times indeed. So
just back off. You know, they've had movie stories like that in the past when they go, I think sometimes Hollywood just doesn't quite understand how the rest of the world views certain parts of history and stuff, you know. I know they're the movie Valkyrie. Do you remember that? It was about it was a Tom Cruise flick. I think Bryan Singer directed it, and it was about a German military officer in the Nazi army who was fairly high up and came up with his own plan to assassinate Hitler because he knew stuff was going wrong, you know. And they had secured a bunch of permission to use, you know, real life locations and all sorts of stuff from the German government.
Yeah.
And they were ready to go and stuff. And then they announced that Tom Cruise was going to be in the movie. And the German government was like, ah, yeah. Thanks, but no thanks. You guys can stay home. So they had to, like, find a bunch of different areas to shoot some of this stuff. So it just. Know your location. That's all I'm saying. You know, like, I'm not, again, I'm not bashing Michael Bay, but dumb move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You just weren't fortunate enough to read that script, though.
Yeah.
If only you knew.
I would have.
If only you knew. Okay. All right. Well, that is going to put the cap on another episode of the Geek Easy Podcast. Really great questions again this week, guys. Really fun topics there to discuss. Again, if any of you ever have your own topic suggestions or questions for us, head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Geek Easy Podcast, and post away, send us a message, whatever you want to do, and we'd be happy to answer your stuff right here on the show. The podcast is available in several different formats. If you prefer the audio version, you can check us out on iTunes. You can check us out on Stitcher. You can check us out on the Podbean app. Basically, any way that grabs an audio podcast, you should be able to find us there. So definitely subscribe to us, follow us, give us a rating, give us a like, give us some stars, whatever your app allows you to do. We would love to have you following the show each and every installment. We also have video versions of the show. And with the last episode, we, for the first time, put the full-length video version of this podcast on our brand-new official Geek Easy Podcast YouTube channel. So that is now out there for you guys to find. Just do a search on YouTube for Geek Easy Podcast. You'll see a bunch of the clips on my channel, but you will also come across the main channel that's got the full episodes, and we'll be putting full episodes there. But I'm also going to continue to put the smaller clips of some of the more exciting segments of the show on my channel as well. So there's lots of different ways you guys can catch the episode. And Jonathan's also going to start doing some smaller segment stuff too, I think, in between some of our takes when he's got some movie news and stuff that he wants to discuss.
Yeah,
right?
That, and I watch more movies when I can. So I'll try to get some reviews and stuff like that up there. As we've upgraded the equipment, that means we've got some old equipment that isn't doing anything.
So. Right, just kind of sitting here. So
I'll try to put it to some good use.
Could give us some more content for the Geek Easy YouTube channel and everything too. So we'll start.
Goes more to the point though. If there's something you guys want to hear about, I mean, even if it's just me and not both of us all the time or something like that. If you guys have topics you're looking for or particular movies you want reviewed or any kind of thing like that, I mean, I won't take every request that comes through necessarily, but I'll certainly take requests. So
sweet.
Always keep in touch, and you can always you can tweet me at JLeonard31 and. Let me know that way if it's something directly, because I don't keep up with it. You'll have to keep me abreast of what's going on the Facebook page sometimes.
I'll let you know. Yeah.
I'm on the internet a lot looking for nerd news, but I don't always remember to check the important sources.
Follow the social medias. The social media stuff. So. Cool beans. So lots of different ways you guys can enjoy the show. So hopefully you guys are enjoying it, and we want to thank you guys for constantly tuning in. We're having a lot of fun doing this, and we got a lot more stuff on the way. Some new movies coming out we're going to be seeing soon, like Doctor Strange. Yep. It's going to be exciting stuff.
I feel like it's going to be a good October, but I can't remember why.
Good October?
Yeah, because Doctor Strange isn't until November.
Yeah.
So
I'm traveling a lot in October. It should be fun, though.
Maybe I'm just really excited about Halloween.
That could be. Yay, Halloween!
You're going to be around for the 27th, correct? For the Carnival of Souls on Rift Tracks?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I will be around for that.
Good deal.
Love the Rift Tracks. We got to do that for sure. Awesome. All right, guys. Well, until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Take care, my friends.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of The Geek Easy Podcast.